Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. As always, Jamal and I appreciate you tuning in, taking your time, even doing football season now, to listen in to us. Jamal, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. The Giants is in a close battle right now.
Yeah, but I see.
I'm here for y'all.
I see you working in your mobile unit today.
Yeah.
Trying to catch that game, were you?
Trying to catch it a little bit.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, my boys already got spanked, so, and Dallas got spanked, so.
Hey,
I don't know, we'll just wait and see. But at any rate.
I understand the winner of the NFC East is going to win the division at 6-10.
Yeah, well, if or that less. If that high, you ain't lying.
Right.
The way it's going. Hey, everybody. Well, today we're going to talk about the, I want to call it the debate. We're going to talk about the debate. We're going to talk about the 25th Amendment. I had some inquiries regarding people not quite understanding how that worked with Trump having COVID-19 and some of the buzz out there right away where that the Democrats were talking about, you know, what about, the 25th Amendment. So we'll talk about that. We didn't get to Breonna Taylor last week because we get so wrapped up and everything else is going on. Sometimes some of the side issues get pushed back a little bit, and also about the Fort Hill situation. But I think we have more on the hopper right now that's going on with everything this week. I mean, Jamal, I mean, the president now having COVID-19. I mean, it's like, what else can happen with this election, man?
Oh, man, just wait.
You know,
just wait.
You said we still got another 4 weeks, huh? Right. I mean, hey, it is amazing.
Touching on the Breonna Taylor situation real quick, I'm just curious from your background, how does this work? Because from what I understand, the guy who shot the officer, he's been released and all charges have been dropped, Kenny Walker. And which was surprising. I thought it was good, but it's supposedly around based on stand your ground laws and stuff like that, that he had a right to defend himself and his firearm was actually a legal firearm.
And that's
so
why.
Charges were dropped.
Well, you just wrapped it all up, Jamal. That's really the bottom line to it. He honestly felt somebody was crashing in on his residence. He had a legal firearm, and he shot through the door. You know, what's amazing with that is that you look at that and say, okay, no charges were against him, yet they're so racist. You know, why didn't they bring charges against him? I mean, they didn't bring charges against him because he was in his rights. So I don't know, it's all too political, too emotional right now with some of those things, and people understand it one way and don't understand it another. I wasn't meaning for us to talk about it yet, but
right. Gotcha.
It's the issue also about the, releasing the, grand jury, transcripts. We'll get to that in a minute. Meanwhile, we want to send a shout out to the president that hopefully he gets better soon. I have to tell you quite honestly, I felt that Joe Biden's reaction to this was very professional in the way that he handled it. He sent out a message to best wishes to not only the president, but the first lady as well. So, I thought that was very professional on his side to do that. So shout out to Joe Biden as well. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But let's talk about it on blast. Jamal, Seattle. Still having riots. They arrested like 11 people there the other night. So my blast goes out to the Seattle authorities, man, that are not bringing this business to a close. I mean, if they need federal help, they have the federal help, but they're not doing it. Then in addition to that, we saw something that was painted on the side of a building that the news had plastered on the news. Was a thing saying, save a life, hang a cop. Save a life and hang a cop. I mean, and people really don't think that this isn't out of line for those kind of things, Jamal. That's getting to be ridiculous.
Yeah, there's extreme behavior on both sides, in my opinion. You know, I just think things have gotten out of hand, and that's where this country is. And once again, I always say when you have a meltdown in society at the rate it is, who do you hold accountable for that? You know what I mean? Governors. Politicians.
Listen, I don't fault, but I'm sorry. Okay, but Jamal, I don't fault the people like that. I don't fault, the governor of Washington for somebody writing that on the side of a wall. You can't control that kind of stuff.
Specifically, but the overall.
Well,
how bad society is failing right now at the moment. That's what I mean.
Well, when we start pointing fingers, where we say you got three pointing back at yourself, as my mother
I didn't do
say.
It.
I know you didn't do it, but I'm just saying, just in general, the way that people are looking at this, you point a finger at somebody, look at how many you have pointing back at you. My mother used to say, see this one? Is pointing up there to the big guy. You better hope he's not looking, you know, at that time is what she'd say. But at any rate, it is what it is. But Jamal, the governor could call in troops. I mean, the National Guard, that's what they did down in Kenosha. That's what he did some other places. It immediately stopped the violence. I mean, you know, pick up the phone, but they won't do it for whatever reason. But let's get into some of these emails and then we'll get into this thing about this presidential debate. If that's what you want to call it. But anyway, emails. Jim, it is regrettable that President Trump now has COVID-19. My prayers are with him and his family. My question is, what happens if he cannot perform his duties? The Dems on CNN are talking about the 25th Amendment. Can you explain how that would work? Is that another way to get him out of office? Your thoughts are appreciated. Harry, Salt Lake City, Utah. Look, Harry, in all honesty, the other side can say whatever they want. I mean, they've been trying to get him out since before he even got in office. The 25th Amendment, I'll talk about in a little bit to come back to that. But, you know, just to let you know, they're not going to be able to get him out of office that way. We're a long way from that as a process, and I'll talk about that shortly. My thoughts are that it's not going to happen. It has happened on occasion in the past. With different presidents, where they've had to actually, well, I'll get to it. So let's just say I'll come back to that. Let's go to the second email. Jim, what was your opinion about the debate? Who do you think won? CNN says Biden and Fox says President Trump. Personally, I don't think either of them won. And I hope the next two are better and that they both act more professional. Susan from Holyoke, Massachusetts. Well, Susan, I'm in agreement with you. We're going to be talking about that shortly as well. I picked out these emails because I wanted people who wrote in that have these kind of concerns in their mind. So that's why I'm addressing both of those in a moment here. And again, if anybody is interested in calling in and commenting, I'm going to hold this up while I'm reading the third email. Jim, if the Dems are always pushing for women's rights and equal rights, how can they justify attacking Judge Barrett? She's being attacked for her religion when we all know the First Amendment protects us from religious discrimination. I am an independent and will now be voting for President Trump. Thanks for listening. Eric, Houston, Texas. Well, first of all, Eric, I don't disagree with you. I mean, it's true. The First Amendment is a protection for all a speech as well as, you know, and it is also for religion. So the realities are it really does appear to be somewhat hypocritical to be going after this person because of her religion, which is what they seem to be focusing on. The interesting part about it, Eric, is that when she was appointed to the federal court and she had to go through the same vetting process, I mean, she was overwhelmingly passed by both sides. So now all of a sudden, because she's going to the Supreme Court as a Trump pick, now all of a sudden, you know, she's not right for the job. How can you say anything negative about this lady? She's a mother. And it's true. The Dems do, you know, always tout the fact about these about women, you know, and pushing women. Trump has a number of women in his organization also. So we're not going to say anything about that. I just want to focus on this one. But the way I look at it is that it's simply because it's a Trump pick. If it wasn't a Trump pick and it was a Democratic pick, which it probably wouldn't have been, she probably would have been pushed through like she got pushed through the federal court. So based upon her religion, because she's Catholic, what has that got to do with anything? They're concerned about abortion. They're concerned about, you know, I mean, her views on abortion, and they're concerned about Roe v. Wade again, Eric. Roe v. Wade. Every time somebody gets selected for the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, which has been around for so long, right away that gets thrown into the picture. I don't personally think they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. I don't think that they're going to go down that path, quite frankly. So I don't know why, you know, people keep harping on that. So you're right. It seems a little hypocritical. You're attacking her. Seven children. She's adopted two Haitian kids, from what I understand, as well. So it sounds like this is a pretty nice woman with a pretty nice family. Why are we doing this? It's a Trump pick. That's how I look at it. But I don't know. Somebody else can have an opinion. That's fine, too.
Well, and that's kind of my issue with the left. I've always found that you know, they're tolerant until you disagree with them. Once you disagree with them, they become, you know, it seems like to me, they become extremists. And you know what I mean? I know they harassed people at restaurants in the past. I know that there was an older couple that had a bakery that they tried to shut down their bakery because they didn't want to make a cake because of their religious beliefs. You know what I mean? I mean, those things to me is just ridiculous. You know, respect people's opinion to disagree with you also.
I fully agree with that. The cake issue got resolved by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court found in favor of the baker, as I recall. And that had to do with sexual orientation, actually, where right. Because of their religion, they didn't believe in it. And the individuals wanted to force them to make them the cake. I don't know how you could force anybody in this country to do anything, quite frankly. As long as not discriminatory. And they were yelling that it was discriminatory. So
those things I never understand because I work hard for my money and every dollar I get. So why would I want to force somebody to take my money that don't want it? I would just go take my money somewhere else and spend it with people that is on the same page as I am.
That's how I look at it. But Jamal, let's just clarify something. You said you work hard for your money. You know, you do work for me. I've seen how hard you work and don't work. Just kidding, Jamal. You work hard for you.
We talked about that off air, brother.
You work, Jamal. You do your job. That's all that's necessary, man, for that perspective. Jamal, your camera is going up and down.
No, I got it.
Bring it into focus here. But at any rate, Eric, so to answer your question, I mean, that's how I feel about it. And I think that, you know, she needs to be protected. And, you know, being Catholic, I just don't see a problem overall. I think has the makings of a good Supreme Court justice. Her decisions have been pretty good decisions since she's been on the federal court bench. So I don't know. We'll just wait and see. The reality is that they can't stop her anyway because of them getting, put in because of the fact that the Senate is controlled by the Republicans. So I don't know, you know, and now with the situation with Trump, we just have to wait and see on some of this. I don't know. Right away, I think they were talking about the Dems were talking about this should be pushed back. It doesn't have anything to do with it. He's already made the nomination. So it's up to the senators now to make a decision. So it has nothing to do with Trump at this point. He did his job when he nominated her. So, you know, we'll see about that from that perspective. Okay, Jamal, we're finished with the emails. What do you think about this debate, son?
I thought the debate looked like more of a Saturday Night Live skit, to be honest with you, man. It was just, I mean, it was ridiculous, man. I felt like both of them acted like children, you know what I mean? Throwing tantrums and stuff like that. I played a skit like it was kind of funny of a Pee Wee Herman thing. I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what? It just seemed like it was that back and forth childish bickering. And I don't think we learned anything out of the debate. I thought it was an embarrassment for the country, to be honest with you.
You know, as we were watching the debate, Jamal, it made us feel tired. It made us feel exasperated, frustrated, because to me, we weren't getting anywhere. The purpose of the debate, as most people understand it, is for them to be able to respond to certain questions. Chris Wallace, you know, to me, he did the best he could under the circumstances. And he had six topics, 15 minutes for each topic. So he was trying to stay within those guidelines as best he could. So to me, the problem is that both of them interrupted each other. Now, it's true that Trump interrupted Biden more than Biden interrupted Trump. But, you know, I've got some some comments here, you know, that I was able to do some research on, and they were talking about social media. And so we don't think about social media like that, but the social media gurus out there that track things, they said that the overwhelming online sentiment was negative toward both candidates. Now, there's also data from Adam Brown Social Media Command Center at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. All right. So they did something. They said overall it was a very negative sentiment wise. He said that's just how the feedback came. And, you know, the thing about it was that debate to me was not about policies, Jamal. It was more like about personalities.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it was. And I heard on the news the day following that from the Trump people that tried to prepare Trump for this, that said that they told Trump to be aggressive, okay, because they wanted to show Biden, okay, as being weaker, not as strong as Trump. And, you know, so from that perspective, that's what happened. But they didn't mean for him to be that hot. But how are you going to – you tell Trump to be aggressive, he's going to be aggressive. He's aggressive anyway. You know.
Yeah, it is Trump, man. I think maybe they should put a shock collar on him. Every time he, you know, overspeaks somebody, man, it just goes off and shocks him. Just as a friendly reminder. But, hey, I got to ask you, what's your thoughts on this situation that he said with the Proud Boys to stand back? Because it seemed like that was very inflammatory to a lot of people.
Jamal.
The Proud Boys have been bragging about it on Twitter. And see, once again, man, nobody fanned the flames as good as Trump does, man. Or as bad as he does, I should say. You know what I mean? We already in a volatile situation, man. Everything is unstable. And to make a comment like that, you know what I mean?
And, Jamal, he told him to stand down, okay? I didn't hear Biden telling Black Lives Matter to stand down. I didn't hear any of that. Jamal, all of this stuff that's going on right now with all of these protests and all of that, tell me, in your opinion, Kamala Harris or Biden, which one of them have told these people to, quote unquote, stand down?
They asked Trump a very simple question, man. Can you denounce white supremacy? He couldn't do it.
He did it. He told him to stand down.
Stand up and stand by. You know what that means when somebody says stand by? That means be ready for action. Be on high alert.
I guess those words could mean that. There's no doubt about that. Look, right. I don't know. I can't speak for Trump, Jamal, and what he thinks about. To me, at that point, I felt that he was doing a little ranting, quite frankly, because he was being pressed on the issue. They took that and resorted it back to Charlotte, North Carolina incident, and they keep quoting him as saying something at Charlotte that he did not say, you know.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, from that perspective. We got a call coming in, you know. So, hello, we have a caller on the line.
Jim, hi. Guess who it is?
Oh my God,
Jim from Jersey. You know I wasn't going to stay out of this discussion.
Well, the one thing Jim, I want to ask you to do, though, Jim, okay, is to stay in control of your emotions, okay?
Hey, Jim from Jersey.
I'm fine.
Well, Jim, I want you to stay in control of your emotions. I don't mind hearing an opinion mm-hmm. from anybody, even if that opinion is contrary to mine. I really don't mind. Okay, what do you have mm-hmm. to say, Jim?
Well, regarding the debate, it wouldn't have been the circus it was. It wouldn't have been as bad if Trump had agreed to the rules. He obeyed the rules. His campaign agreed to the rules of the debate. And even Chris Wallace said to Trump during the debate, your campaign agreed to these rules. And he didn't agree to the rules. Each candidate was supposed to have 2 minutes to talk, and Biden couldn't get a word in edgewise half the time because Trump kept interrupting him.
I actually have some statistics here. I'm flipping through my notes here. And I don't disagree with you about the fact that Trump did interrupt. But just to be clear, Mr. Biden interrupted as well, although it was not as much as Trump. Okay, so I don't disagree with that. Trump had a game plan in mind, according to his people, the next day, and the game plan was for him to be aggressive, and therefore he was. So I'm not going to defend him on interrupting, but they said, I'm just trying to find my, again, trying to flip through my notes here, that the percentages. Oh, here we go. So listen to this. Who won the debate? All right. Now, this is people on social media who responded, okay? Roughly 67% of the tweets mentioning both presidential candidates were negative in nature. 67%, I'll repeat it, of the tweets mentioning both presidential candidates were negative. The university found, I already gave you that, the Adam Brown social media. So that's where this is coming from. Then it says, however, only 60% of the tweets mentioning just Biden were negative. Only 60% compared to 67% of the tweets mentioning just Trump. So I look at that and say, okay, what was the ultimate reaction from people that this particular University of Tennessee off the media that they were gathering information? So my thing is, I'm looking at what was the general feeling about the general public. I mean, I don't know about you, but when we were watching it, Jim, you know, we felt exhausted watching it, you know, because these guys are going back and forth. Now, if you want to say Trump started it or Trump did it more, okay, I mean, we all watched it. So I don't disagree with you about the fact that, you know, he initiated, you know, cutting people off. But Mr. Biden did the same thing. And Mr. Biden engaged in name calling, I might mention, but Trump, which I was surprised Trump didn't, but Trump actually did not do that. But look, the reality is, you know, with these debates, I think is what they're talking about is, you know, that the debate committee is talking about setting up a situation where they can't do that. They can't step on each other. I think the solution is very simple. When a person has this, there you go. When they have, as soon as that person has his 2 minutes, put the mute button on. That's it.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Now you don't have to worry about anybody cutting off. And when the 2 minutes is up, you take the mute button off. If these guys can't do what they're supposed to do. But Jim, from an overall perspective about the debate with both candidates, are you saying that you thought Biden, and I hate to put it this way, you thought Biden did what kind of job and Trump did what kind of job? I mean, do you think that, you know, Biden did
a better job? Biden tried to have a debate. I mean, can you imagine the frustration of Biden just trying to get his points across, and Trump kept interrupting him? Anybody would get mad at that point. And you know, at one point he said, why don't you shut up, man?
Hey, you know how I looked at that, Jim? I looked at that and said, what? Okay, if a person is going to be president of the United States, okay, if you from the United States, and he's going to get into contested discussions with presidents and leaders of other countries, hey, you still got to maintain your cool. Frustration, forget it.
He's not going to run into people like Trump. Trump's one of a kind.
Hey, but at the same time, by the way, I just want to make a quick correction real quick, because you said Trump didn't say any names. He did refer to Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas during the debate.
I was talking about with Biden, Jamal.
It's still name calling on a presidential debate.
Okay, Jamal. All right. Point well taken. Okay. I was specifically talking about Biden. He wasn't exchanging name calling of Vice President Biden. Personally, let me just tell you, I like Biden for who I like him. I think that he's, you know, he's a mild mannered type of guy. I get all of that. I don't necessarily agree, you know, with some of the things that he's talking about that he would like to take, you know, this nation through. I just don't agree with it. Okay. But look, the other side of the coin is when we're talking about these things, this whole thing is, it wasn't about policies and policy. I'm talking about the feedback afterwards. I'm not talking about while they were speaking. It was not about policies, in my opinion. These guys didn't get heavy into the policies until the end, but to me, it was about personalities. That's what this was. You know, Trump's personality versus Biden's personality when it really all came down to it. And Trump does have an aggressive personality. There's no two ways about that. You know, and people have told him about his aggressive personality. But in the same token, that's how he got elected president the first time. All right. That's how he's, you know, has fought back through these last 3.5 years. That man's not going to change. Whether he's in office or out of office, he is still going to be who he is. And those are just what the realities are. I want to read a couple other things, you know, Jim, since you're on the line here, some other feedback that we got as well from different news outlets, you know, as well. So they were talking about, it was an ugly shouting match. Well, you can only have a shouting match if two people are shouting. Most of the political professionals and pundits watching said that the 90 minutes of bickering, interrupting, and shouting was an unbearable affair that had further exhausted the patience of the weary and beleaguered nation, which is true. So I guess I look at it like no matter who started it, it was still not comfortable to watch it. And I will agree with you, Jim, that I think it did start with Trump. But again, they had a certain game plan in mind. That's what it was supposed to be. And, you know, end of story. But, you know.
But they're supposed to stick. They agreed to the rules. They went back. They agreed to the rules. If Trump had stuck to the rules and not interrupted Biden every 10 seconds, you could have had a decent debate. What do you expect Biden to do? You sit there and take it and look weak?
So, well,
people will call it weak. If Biden didn't fight back, fire back, people say, oh, well, Biden's weak. What do you expect him to do under those situations? I mean, seriously.
First of all, I don't think you already said Trump is one of a kind. I do not think that Biden is as strong as Trump. But look, you were also talking about every 10 seconds. Did you time this, Jim, to know that it was every 10 seconds?
Well, I tried to cut into Biden.
Okay,
let the guy. He's supposed to have 2 minutes to respond to questions, and not supposed to be interrupted by the other candidate.
Biden wasn't doing
the same thing that Trump was doing. He wasn't as bad as Trump. Come on.
Who said?
It's ridiculous for anybody to say that.
Did you misunderstand, Jim? When I agreed with you that I think that Trump did it more. I specifically said,
I know.
Okay, listen to this. Yeah. Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review, said that Biden was scoring points with his criticism of the president's coronavirus response. But Mr. Biden's inability to compete with the unbridled force of Mr. Trump's desire to be heard, not just over Mr. Biden, but over Chris Wallace of Fox News, the moderator, left some doubting his effectiveness and asking whether he might skip the next two debates. Jim, do you think there should be another two debates? What do you think?
Well, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be a second debate. I mean, Trump should be under quarantine for 14 days. If he was asymptomatic, he would be under quarantine for 14 days. He's symptomatic, which means he shouldn't go anywhere until he's completely free of any symptoms, right?
Okay. Well,
plus the fact he should be 14.
That'll be left up to his doctor, so that's fine. We'll wait. We'll see.
My first concern when I heard Trump got the virus, my first concern was, I hope he didn't give it to Biden. But at least they were 12 feet away, and then they're going to have to talk about that. They should have another debate, but they should have the mute button, like you say. But since we're talking about the virus here in the debate, I would make a point that Trump always mocked Biden at the debate about wearing a mask all the time. And he said, and I quote, he said, oh, if he was 200 feet away from me, he'd be wearing the biggest mask you ever saw. Well, all I can say is, Trump is in the hospital and Biden is out there campaigning wearing a mask.
Jamal, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, this could be a good way of having a debate where it would be uninterrupted. I mean, you could have these guys are different people with the same kind of background and just cut the mute button on the person who is not speaking. So this could be a good way to actually have a good debate with both of them not being in the same room at the same time. So, it'll be better for the American people this way.
And we'll see how that turns out. I want to read another one because since we're going through this, I want to read another one that the Wall Street Journal. Here's what the Wall Street Journal said. And this is a person talking about Trump. Said the performance was a hit with the president's supporters and listed the many issues that would resonate with them that he mentioned. On this, Trump wins, she says. He was consistent and made the points that he's running on this election. Law and order, the economy, corruption in terms of the FBI investigation, Hunter, and the handling of the virus. All this does is tell me, once again, okay, that the people who like Biden, Biden won. The people who like Trump, Trump won. The realities are anybody, and Jim, I'm assuming you'll agree with this. I'll get your opinion. Anybody who was already going to vote for Biden or anybody that was always going to vote for Trump, already going to vote for Trump are probably still going to do the same thing. So what was the outcome of the debate in terms of that? Now, Frank Luntz, who is a Republican pollster, all right, I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Luntz or not, Jim. I'm very familiar with him. He's very good with these focus groups, okay? You can look him up. But he was conducting a focus group of debate viewers. Those are viewers now. And they said that this debate had actually convinced some undecided voters to not vote at all. I've never seen a debate cause this reaction. You know, again, it's just another pollster, obviously. So from that perspective, you know, some people got completely turned off about it. You want to say it was Trump's fault? That's fine. Okay. But the way the majority of these people are looking at it that are out there, some of them didn't like the reaction by either one of them. And that's where I am at. I'm not denying the fact that Trump didn't do it, you know, work the way he did. But that's just simply who he is. I'm not saying it's right, but that's just who he is.
As an independent, I've heard several independent discussions. I've heard two things. A lot of independents, people were feeling like, you know, that if they had to pick between the two, they probably pick Trump because he appeared to be more the alpha male. Even though the debate was a terrible debate, he just appeared to be stronger than them. A lot of, as of right now, I'm one of those people that feel like I want to hold my vote because it's just hard to pick between these two. I don't like either one of them. So,
my feeling on people who don't vote, they have no right to complain then.
That's not true.
They have no right to complain. They say, shut the hell up. You're not going to vote? Then don't complain about anything in the government then.
Jim?
No, that's not true.
Take it down an octave, Jim.
Right. Sure it is. Hey, come on. I'm not yelling, Jim. What are you talking about?
No, take it down a notch.
What are you talking about?
You should hear it on this end. Jamal, go ahead.
You don't want to support either candidate, and that's where a lot of people are at. If you don't like the policies that Joe Biden has, and you don't like Trump for all the reasons he gives you not to like him, by voting for somebody, you're showing your support towards that candidate. I'm not showing my support to either one of these candidates because I don't like a lot of Joe Biden policies, and I don't like Trump because of the way Trump is, and that's the bottom line. So I'm not going for the, well, if you don't vote for Joe, if you just vote independent, then that's a vote for Trump. I don't subscribe to that. My vote has to be earned. And I think a lot of independents are feeling that way. Stop voting for your party just because it's your party. That doesn't make any sense to me. Vote on the issues.
There are not that many undecided voters out there. I've heard anywhere from 84 to 90% of the people are already set who they're voting for. You know, up to 90%, but there's a 10-11% out there who are still undecided.
All right.
So it's a small percentage.
So then based upon those numbers, Jim, these debates really don't matter when it really comes down to it.
No, really don't, no. Most people, the majority, made up their minds already. A lot of people already voted already. I voted already. I voted last week.
You want to tell us who you vote for, or you want to keep that a secret?
I voted for Biden. Of course I voted for Biden. It's a little obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, I got to figure that, Jim.
I haven't seen the ballot yet. Is Kanye West on here?
I don't think Jim heard you.
What?
Jim? I said, Kanye West on the ballot? I haven't seen it yet.
No. Oh, Kanye, give me a break. Anybody who votes for Kanye West is crazy. Out of their mind. I'm sorry. You know, to me, you should vote for somebody you think has a chance of winning. Otherwise, it's a wasted vote.
Well, the way otherwise, it's a wasted California, vote.
I don't like that. See, that's why we're at in this country, because everybody keeps talking about it's a wasted vote. I voted for independent last time. It's called a wasted vote. How are you ever going to have change if we keep having that same attitude? We're going to be stuck with the same people all the time.
Okay.
You're never going to see a third-party candidate win.
Exactly. Hey, well, listen, we're going to move on because I want to be able to talk.
Okay, go ahead. What time? Yeah, I'm watching the clock here for you, too, Jim. Right. Past 6:30.
And just to let you know, Kanye West is not on the California ballot, Jamal. So this business about mailing it in, it's not happening that way. It's going to be everybody.
He is on some ballots in some states. He is on some ballots.
I'm getting text messages left and right, Jamal. He's not on the California ballot.
On the California one. But
California ballot. Jim, we appreciate you calling in as usual.
Okay.
Take care. I got to move to some of the other things, but thank you for calling in, sir.
Yeah, okay. Take care, Jim.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
By the way, let me be clear. I'm not voting for Kanye West. That's not even thought in my mind. I was just curious if he was on the ballot. There's another call coming in.
Yeah, there is another call coming in. Okay, is there another caller on the line?
I'm assuming you're talking to me.
Yes, I am. How are you? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
All right. So you have something you'd like to share with us?
Yeah. I was just kind of listening to your friend Jim there, and you know, I understand he's a Biden voter, and all the more power to him. But in listening to the debate, and I do agree with him that Trump interrupted way more than Biden did. But by the same token, Biden was defending himself. I think Trump was defending himself to a lot of things that he perceived as being falsehoods or remarks that were unbecoming, shall we say.
Oh, he does get attacked. Remarks. There's no doubt about that. He gets attacked.
Oh, yeah. And I think that if Biden can't deal with Trump, he's going to have a hard time with President Xi or Putin or Kim Jong-un or right. A lot of these foreign leaders, because they're not pushovers. They're going to be tough.
I would agree with that. You know, I kind of used an example after the debate. If I had $20 million on the line, I had to pick between Joe Biden and Trump to go represent me to get my $20 million, I definitely would pick Trump to be the bully to go get my money. You know what I mean? When you're talking about who do you want in the room, you know, negotiating with Putin, would you want Trump or would you want Joe Biden? Joe Biden to me looked a lot weaker, right, wrong, or indifferent that Trump was, you know, cutting him off or whatever. He just looked stronger, and I would rather have him dealing with Kim Jong-un or, you know, Putin instead of, you know, instead of the fragile-looking Joe Biden.
Well, he's already actually shown that. You guys might remember when he was with the, you know, when he was talking about the fact with the Europeans and the fact that this country was putting out so much money into the percentages. Everybody was supposed to put in 2% or something like that, you know, collectively.
That's true.
Okay, and what did he do? He went after the other leaders and said, "Where's your percentages?" I mean, that's what we're talking about when we talk about
They haven't paid up since World War II.
Right. And the Canadian prime minister, when he asked him, what did he tell him? We're going to be getting out 2%. We're going to be putting it in starting in 2025, I believe it was. And Trump said, okay, so are you going to make up for the difference between now and 2025? Are you going to make
sure
that money as well?
Well, that's where the businessman part of him comes in handy. But in reference to the debate, and I talked to a couple of other friends of mine that are pro-Trumpers, but it seemed like Biden was just firing off talking points for the most part. I've heard the same sentences over and over and over, especially the one about they came out with their torches and veins bulging out of their necks. I've heard that a million times, but when he would say something to Trump, Trump had a prepared response. And actually, in spite of everything, I think Trump was making far more sense than Biden. He was answering, responding to questions, accusations, whatever, whereas Biden was just stating his normal mantra. So in that respect, my friends and I are probably going to say, Trump did a better job in the debate.
Well, caller, let me ask you this. What was your thoughts on him telling the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by? What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll answer that in sort of a general way. I think that because of the nature of the debate, and there was just so much, I mean, there was no cohesion to the thing. It was just firing off things back and forth, back and forth. I don't think anybody had a chance to actually totally respond to anything that was said. Not in detail. As far as the Proud Boys go, he started to answer, and then, you know, Chris Wallace is firing stuff, and Biden's in the background. I don't believe Trump in any way, shape, or form is a racist. As far as the Proud Boys, I got to say that I'm not that familiar with their whole thing. Are they a white supremacist group, or are they kind of like, middle of the road? Well, if they're white supremacists, they need to be condemned.
Everybody who Trump associates with, they call white supremacists, whatever the group is.
And the caller just said, if they're white supremacists, then they need to be condemned. And it seemed like Trump had a hard time doing that. But I remember specifically when President Obama was asked to denounce Louis Farrakhan, that Obama actually did it. So I don't know why it's so hard.
Okay, wait a minute. First of all, okay, I'm very familiar with Louis Farrakhan. And it doesn't take a lot, okay, Jamal, for anybody to condemn Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan, Jamal, I mean, I've been in his audiences, listened to him speak when I was in law school with the Black Law Student Association. So way back when. But Farrakhan, you don't see them marching in the streets and doing some of the things he does. So for for Obama to say, hey, step back or don't do this, they're not doing that anyway. They weren't doing anything like that. Most of what they do, Jamal, is based upon ideology. You know?
Right. And he was asked to denounce it because people consider Louis Farrakhan a hate person.
Well,
and
Jamal,
so he was asked to.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Jew, so I definitely would say agree with that.
Okay. So my question is, then why did Trump just denounce white supremacy? I don't know why it was that hard.
Well, first of all,
he did do it the following day. He denounced them all.
The following day.
Okay, Jamal, wait. We're wearing this out, okay? Here's the deal. The deal is that this caller is saying the same thing that I said, that there was so much going on back and forth, okay, that did anybody have a chance to fully answer anything that they were saying? Because Chris Wallace, Jamal, did cut him off at that point and saying, you know, this segment is up and we have to move on. So what he explained or didn't explain, in my opinion, and quite frankly, you said the next day, I don't think he explained anything the next day. I don't believe he went into any kind of detail on it, because to me, no. It's the same rhetoric all over again. People do that. I'm getting text messages he didn't do it necessarily the next day. But look, Jamal, I still say the same thing, and maybe the caller agree. You're talking about, why didn't he denounce these guys? These guys right now are not the ones marching in the streets. The ones marching in the streets are on the left, period. Okay? There's Antifa, there's rest of these groups. You don't like to hear, you know, Joe Biden said Antifa, Jamal, was an ideology. Okay? First of all of this stuff is an ideology. That's for one thing. Number two, Antifa, somebody needs to do some research on his team with some fact checking, because Antifa has been around since the 1920s and 30s, and they started out over in Europe.
Germany.
But even months before this, Trump did retweet somebody yelling "White Power." He did.
Jamal, I don't want to keep going back to.
Okay, but he did.
I got That's your point. Okay, I got your point. Okay, I'm only talking about the violence. Again, you're not talking about violence. Trump's message was about the law and order. Okay, people need to settle down and calm down. It's clear that these other things are. Look at Seattle. That's on the left, Jamal. That is not on the right. So just because he tweeted something about, you know, whatever you just said, was there any violence? You know, people marching in the streets, burning and looting. The answer is no.
No. Okay? The answer is yes. Remember Charlottesville? When that happened. Remember Charlottesville when that happened? He said there was five people on both sides.
That has always been taken out of context, Jamal. That was taken out of context then, and they are still continuing to take it out of context in terms of what he was talking about. He has explained that a dozen times, Jamal. Okay? Look, let's move on to another subject here, because we can keep going around and around about this. The issue is about, because I see we're going to be running out of time here shortly. But okay, first of all, caller, did you have another comment you want to make, caller?
I do. And I wish Jim was still on the line, because I would like to ask him, being an adamant Biden supporter. So I bought myself a couple of Trump yard signs. How safe am I putting those in front of my house? How safe is my house? Because I can walk up and down the street and see Biden signs. I've seen signs like F Trump. I've seen signs flush the turd November 3rd. All kinds of signs like this that remain unscathed in any way, shape, or form. Nobody comments. Everybody keeps their mouths shut. But I have not seen one Trump sign. And I'm of the opinion that people have been given a degree of fear of doing so. And to me, that is a hindering of my First Amendment right.
Well, let me just tell you, the way Trump got elected the first time was by that silent majority that didn't tell people. Because it's generally known out there, if you say anything about being a Trump fan, they're going to do all kinds of things to you. Okay, now that is what's going on. Okay, so I know when I drive around, I don't see Trump signs. Not really. I don't see those. Why? Because people do not want people taking some kind of aggressive action against them. So you got this silent majority of people out there that they are just going to be quiet about it. And let's just see what happens on November 3rd. People say this is going to be a close election. I don't know. In my gut, I don't think it's going to be that close. I think that Trump is going to win, and I think that he's going to win by more than just a small majority. I mean, that's just my opinion. Who am I? But that's just my opinion. All right. Okay, caller.
And you know what? And you're entitled to it, as is everybody else, regardless of who you support.
Right. Well, I've never said who I'm supporting, so let me just put it.
No, I know.
You know, I may be with Jamal, you know, not voting. Ah, no, that's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
At any rate, look, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. You guys have a nice day and stay safe.
All right, thank you. You too. You know, in reference to the 25th Amendment that people asked about, we covered the email with the debate. But just very quickly on the 25th Amendment, the 25th Amendment has strict rules, all right? The reason why the 25th Amendment was even put in place was because of the fact that if a president becomes either passes away or becomes disabled to the point where he or she cannot conduct themselves and their duties, then the 25th Amendment it can be invoked. But there's a process there. Congress has to look at it. They have to submit the information that they feel the 25th Amendment should be invoked. The president of the United States has to be able to react to that, to be able to say, I'm able or I'm not able and things of that nature. And then it goes to a committee. It goes to like 13 different individuals that are in different cabinet positions within the administration that determine whether or not his request should be overridden, basically. And I'm giving a real overview on this at this point, all right? But that's what the 25th Amendment is about. Now, look, we're not even close, Jamal, to an issue about, even though these Dems are bringing it up, we're not even close to that. I mean, Trump, knock on wood, appears to be doing fine. I don't wish any, you know, ill on anybody, you know, quite frankly. I hope he does recover. It has nothing to do with him being the president. Anytime anybody has an illness, I always wish them the best. I don't care who it is, all right? And that's just who I am. So we just have to wait and see. His medical doctors, you know, are going to clear him when they feel that he should be cleared. I mean, the man's been on the news still working. I don't know. Have you seen him, Jamal?
I have not seen him. I have not.
Yeah, he's at Walter Reed, and they're taking videos of the fact that he's actually still working. I mean, he can still sit up and work. So he's not incapacitated like that, you know. So.
Right.
Look, he's the president of the United States, so they're going to do everything that they can, as these doctors do with everybody. So let me just preface that. I don't want to get any emails or text messages. Why are you just saying that? No, every doctor, I'm sure, works to the best ability to be able to resolve the issues that a patient may have. You know, so we'll just have to wait and see. Now, the other thing is, Jamal, very quickly on the Breonna Taylor situation with this, people are clamoring about this grand jury transcripts. The grand jury, it's very, very rare that they ever release grand jury transcripts because you got to protect the people who came in and testified also, all right?
Right.
Because you don't want any, retaliation against somebody that may have testified unfavorably, let's just put it that way. So that's why those are so difficult to get out. The only reason why, in my opinion, that they're putting this one out is for political reasons once again. Not just political reasons, I should say emotional reasons, you know, to stop people from rioting. They don't want the riots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you put that kind of stuff out, people are going to read it. They're going to interpret it their way anyway. It's not going to matter. They're going to look for things that they can say, see, it wasn't handled right. They're going to do that. That's why they want to see it, all right? They're going to find little things, I'm sure, that they don't agree with. Now, what they don't understand is that the defense, the police officers and a grand jury, they don't get to have attorneys sitting in there presenting their side of it. That's not what it is. It's up to the attorney general or the district attorney you know, whatever, the, you know, at level that it's at, for them to be able to go in there, present the information. Okay, Jamal, we're out of time. All right, so we're going to have to go, but I at least wanted to get that in. You got any last-minute comments you'd like to make, sir?
Yeah, everybody try to please remain calm through all of these times, because I know a lot of people are emotional, and even during the show, I'm getting text messages that I feel like it's hard to listen to, and you know, we got to still just remain calm, everybody, man. You know what I mean? It's just
everybody
has an opinion, and that's what it is. It's people's opinion. It's people's point of view. It's people's perspectives. And we need to respect everybody's perspectives, even when we disagree.
I have liberal friends out there. I respect their opinion. End of story. And, you know, so that, you know, end of story. So I don't know. At any rate, okay, everybody, look, as always, you've been listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. Now it's time to close out the show. Hey, do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. But until next week, please be safe out there. Until next week, everybody, take care.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.